Good morning, everyone. Normally I have a bit of a deal when I come to Picton because I'm going to give the same sermon tonight at Wilton. If it's a dud, let me know. I've still got time to change it. I'd just like to start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, please make me brave to speak confidently the words you would have me speak. Please let the Spirit get your message through. Please help us to love you and love our neighbour. Amen. Olivia.
What
are you doing?
Cleaning up your mess.
I beg your pardon? Can't you wait until I'm finished? This is embarrassing me. I think that's my first draft of the sermon, actually.
No, it can't wait. We have all these people here, and I'm sure they don't want to walk all over it. Actually, why don't you clean it up? You're the one who made the mess in the first place.
I have to give the sermon.
Well, I've done my bit. I'm going back to my seat. But it better not be boring. Then make sure he cleans it all up afterwards.
Not sure what's happened. I did get Olivia baptized 19 years ago, but, you know. Have you ever had a little squabble with someone else? A discussion or an exchange of views when you've had to clean up their mess. Or perhaps a little spat with someone who is not doing their share, whether it's washing the clothes, cooking, or the cleaning up afterwards. Today's passage revolves around two members of the same family, Mary and Martha, and they have a different view on what they should be doing with their time. But it's not fair when one person is left to do more than their fair share. Have you ever felt a bit miffed when someone else sits around? Or if you're like Olivia, when you've had to clean up after someone else? This week at work I had to move floors along with 80 other people. I couldn't help notice some did more than their fair share and others did less. I think many of us can identify with how Martha is feeling. Can we have the passage on the screen, Vicky? Thank you. I want to let you know a bit more about Mary and Martha, because there are a few Marys in the Bible. So for clarity, this is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is not Mary Magdalene. This is not Mary, the mother of James. This is another Mary who lives in Bethany along with her sister, Martha. They have a brother named Lazarus. We can read about Mary and Martha in chapter 11 of the Gospel of John when their brother Lazarus dies. 4 days later, Lazarus is raised back to life by Jesus. Further, we can read about Mary and Martha in the Gospels of Mark and John, where Martha was serving at Simon the leper's house and Mary poured a pint of expensive perfume worth about 1 year's wages on Jesus' feet, a very extravagant gesture of love. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. The story in today's passage takes place in Martha's house in Bethany. Bethany was a small village about 3 kilometres outside of Jerusalem. Jesus visited Bethany on many other occasions as well. By the time of Jesus' death, Jesus, Mary and Martha were more than one-off acquaintances. They met together, they talked together, and they had life experiences together. But when we look at today's passage up on the screen, I feel sorry for Mary and Martha. Everyone who reads this passage will consider their actions, and some have, and will pass their own judgment on what has happened. A few minutes ago, I had a little squabble with my daughter. Of course, it was a setup. I would never really fight with my children over cleaning. But no one wrote our disagreement down in a book, let alone in the best-selling book of all time, the Bible. More people have read about this little tiff than I could ever count. While there are just five verses, there is much you can say about them. At least one author, Joanna Weaver, has based a whole book on these five verses. In this passage, we see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he has to say. Martha is distracted by all the preparations for the visitors. There is a lot to do, and I think she is a little annoyed with her sister sitting there. In verse 40, where it says, "She came to him," in the Greek, according to the commentaries, because I don't know Greek myself, this word "came" has an element of suddenness. So Martha is quite forthright when she suddenly says to Jesus in verse 40, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now let's picture a modern scenario. Imagine if you had Queen Elizabeth come to your house. You are getting the drinks and looking after the royal guard, while your husband just sits at the Queen's feet. Would you say something like this? Your Majesty, can you tell my husband to get up and help? Would you say that? There's no way I would. I would be too chicken. I would not feel comfortable to interrupt like that. There is no doubt that Martha is forthright in her approach to Jesus. She does acknowledge his authority, starting with the title, Lord. But Martha does not ask her sister directly. Instead, she asks the Lord to tell Mary what to do. But to understand this passage more deeply, I think we need to look at what happened before it. I don't think this passage is meant to be read in isolation. Last week, for those of us that were here, we heard Bob speak about the passage before today's reading, the story of the Good Samaritan. Bob's encouragement to us was not to lower the bar when it comes to looking after our neighbour. The standard required is high. The Good Samaritan is a story about how much we are to love our neighbour. This is a story of the extreme commitment and effort of one man to look after a stranger who had been beaten and robbed. It is a story that encourages us to look after each other with physical actions, the kind of physical actions that Martha was doing in looking after her visitors. On the back of the story of the Good Samaritan, you would think that Martha's efforts would be rewarded, that her efforts to prepare and look after her guests would be praised. But let's look at what Jesus says to Martha when she asks him to get her sister to help out. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." I want to take you back now to the very start of the passage about the Good Samaritan. Can we have, Vicky, can you put the thank you? This is from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'How do you read it?' The expert answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself.' The rest of the passage then goes on to discuss the story of the Good Samaritan and who is your neighbour. But the story of the Good Samaritan does not expand on the first part of the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. It only deals with the second part, love your neighbour as yourself. Vicky, can you put the today's reading back on, please? Thank you. Then comes the story of Mary and Martha. So while Martha was looking after her guests, Mary was sitting, loving the Lord her God. She was getting to know him. She was talking to the person through whom the universe was created. She was talking to the one who would die on the cross to save us from our sins and restore us to a right relationship with God. Mary was not doing nothing. She had chosen wisely what to do with her time. She was learning more by listening to Jesus. She was learning to love him with her heart, soul, mind, and strength. The kind of love that would later pour a pint of expensive perfume on his feet and know that Jesus could save her brother Lazarus from death. If you had the chance that Mary and Martha had to listen to Jesus, would you take it? Or would you let other things distract you? Time and time again in my life, I have felt the clash of priorities. Family commitments and expectations, high-pressured work deadlines, and sometimes I waste time on pointless distractions. It has often been the case that the time for basic tasks goes out the window, like housework, or sweeping up the mess I left in the aisle at church. But it is better that these things go by the wayside than time with my Saviour. Sometimes, well, actually, way too often, when the priorities clash, it is not just the chores that get left undone. It is the time to sit and pray and read my Bible. The time to reflect on who God is and praise him. I think Martha was feeling that pressure of her worldly chores and needs. She had a house full of guests to provide for. There were things to do. But there is nothing she could do that was more important than building a relationship with Jesus. All of the lunches and clean houses in the world, as great as they are, and I really do love a good lunch, but none of these can save you. John Calvin's commentary on today's passage notes this: Martha, by distracting her attention and undertaking more labour than was necessary, deprived herself of the advantage of Christ's visit. In the Gospel story by Knox and Cox, the following observation is made. Doing the practice of charity must not distract someone from union of mind and will with Jesus. They go on to say that when God speaks, one should give undivided attention to him. Many prophets and kings and just men have longed to hear what you hear. J.C. Ryle, in his commentary on Luke, notes that Martha's excessive zeal for temporal provisions made her forget, for a time, the things of her soul. The simple summary of this morning's reading from Deuteronomy is: remember the Lord your God and what he has done for you. Do not forget the Lord or the commands that he has given you. This story about Mary and Martha is an encouragement to be focused and wholehearted in the way that we follow the Lord Jesus and walk closely with our God. Nothing in this story about Mary and Martha should be taken as an excuse not to do anything other than sit back and dwell on God. Rather, this passage is about priorities. This passage does not say that we should not do other things. It is not our lot just to sit and listen. This passage does show us, by Mary's example, what our highest priority should be. When we decide what to do with our time, that decision needs to start and end with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. When we are choosing what we do with our time, and let's face it, we do have some flexibility, We should choose first the things that build up our relationship with God. We also need to demonstrate love to others, and in both cases, to quote Bob, don't lower the bar. The standard is high. We won't always meet it, but we need to try our best. The next passage after this in the Gospel of Luke is where Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray, how to talk to God. This is a natural follow-on from a passage that encourages us to place him first. If you would like to know more about this, you'll have to come back next week. Last week, following Bob's encouragement, I spent a lot of time thinking about how I can be a better neighbour. It was constantly on my mind as I interacted with others. This week, I want to think more about how I can love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength and all my mind. Can I encourage you to do that too? Could it be that the best place to start on this is just by praying? Let's do that now. Thank you, Lord, that you have saved us. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word to learn more about you. Please help us make wise decisions on what we do with our time. Please help us to prioritize loving you with our whole heart, soul, mind and strength, and without losing sight of our need to love our neighbour. Amen.